Hi, everyone. Whenever and wherever you are listening, welcome to Highland's Scattered Prayers. The ease of the father, who takes leisurely evening strolls. The companionship of the son, who seeks and saves the lost. The inspiration of the spirit, who guides our feet in the way of peace. And the company of all the saints, whose footsteps lead to the truth and life of the kingdom of heaven, be with you all. My name is Jay Jansen. I'm the pastoral elder at Highland Community Church. Happy Easter! It's good to be with you in this way. The Japanese theologian Kosuke Koyama wrote a book called 3-Mile-an-Hour God. Koyama noted that because God loves us, God chooses to walk alongside us at our speed. The average walking speed of a human is 3 to 4 miles per hour. Koyama went on to observe that the Bible is full of walks, treks, pilgrimages, journeys, and missionary trips, to name just a few. For example, God walks with Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Later, Jesus goes traipsing all over Judea with his disciples, from Galilee to Jerusalem and elsewhere. There's a pattern. As people walk in step with God, they come to know God, creation, and humanity, among other things, in new and deeper ways. People grow to know more of the way, the truth, and the life of God as they follow Christ. In the days following his resurrection, Jesus covered all sorts of ground, striding to Emmaus, hoofing it to Jerusalem, wandering up to Galilee, and so forth. And before he ascends into heaven, Jesus gives his followers similar marching orders, telling them to hit the road and travel to the ends of the earth, telling people about him. So they did. It's no wonder that before they were called Christians, Jesus' followers were known as people of the way. What's more impressive about the early church is that they were remarkably hospitable. As Jesus' people covered ground near and far, they encountered foreigners, strangers, and enemies on highways and byways, during pit stops and detours. And in those instances, the people of the way invited their new acquaintances to seek out the life and truth of Jesus in their company. To be sure, the church's offer wasn't always welcome. There were some folks who passed. Yet those who accepted the invitation discovered that they were affirmed yet dignified in such a way that the fragmented and diminished parts of their lives were reordered into the image of the resurrected Son. It proved to be a transformational movement. With that in mind, I invite you to step into the story of God, literally and figuratively. In the silence that follows, pause your playback device and light a candle as a sign that the resurrected Jesus is with us in spirit, and that you're open to letting the light of the world guide your feet down life-giving paths. If you're with children, maybe let one of them do the honors. Next, take a few moments of quiet to slow down, to catch your breath, and ready yourself to set out on the journey to come. When you're ready, press play, and we'll continue.
That God has
Brothers and sisters, on this first day of the week, together with the church throughout the world, we celebrate Christ is risen.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Let's set out in the way by praying the following words together. Risen Lord, I am a foreigner coming from my country to yours. Teach me the laws of your country, its way of life, its spirit, so that I may make my home in your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
God's angel spoke to Philip. At noon today, I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Philip got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. This man had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning home, where he was a court official of the queen of the Ethiopians. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Philip ran up close and heard the man reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The official answered, "How can I understand unless someone helps me?" He then invited Philip to come up and sit beside him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch said, "Tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Philip grabbed his chance. Using this passage as his text, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled down the road, they came to a place where there was some water, and the eunuch said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. When they came up out of the water, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Word of God, word of life.
I know that my Redeemer lives. Glory, hallelujah. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I know that my Redeemer lives. Glory, hallelujah. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Glory, hallelujah. Shout on, pray on, we're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. The dead's alive, the lost is found. Glory, hallelujah. Wow. Glory, hallelujah. He lives, my everlasting head. Glory, hallelujah. Shout on, pray on, we're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. Me with his love. Glory, hallelujah. He lives to plead for me above. Glory, hallelujah. Shout on, pray on, we're gaining ground. Glory, hallelujah. The dead's alive, and lost is found. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, ooh. He lives, all glory to his name. Glory, hallelujah. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. lost is found. Glory, alleluia.
Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the chief priest and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. When Saul reached the outskirts of Damascus, a blinding light suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice. "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?" "Who are you, master?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. Now get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you must do next." The companions traveling with Saul stood speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing, drank nothing. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, master," he answered. "Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just seen a vision in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him to restore his sight." Ananias protested. "Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against your saints in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priest that give him license to do the same to your people here, to us." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Then he got up and was baptized. Word of God, word of life.
Love is our way to God, for God is love. Love is our way to God, for God is love. This road of shame is gone. The desert road of dislocation gone. The stony road of loneliness has now become a royal way, a highway home. Love is our way to God.
Gold, the charity of sin.
Love is our way to God, for God is love.
When I started out as a pastor 13-plus years ago, John Conrad gave me a helpful book called Long Wandering Prayer, in which David Hansen encourages us to do two things. First, Hansen says that walks are conducive to prayer. So, whether it's a short stroll or a leisurely amble, go for it. Walk and pray, pray and walk. Second, Hansen suggests that when your mind wanders off while praying, don't worry about it. Simply backtrack and continue on. Or, it may very well be that the distractions are God's way of drawing your attention to something God thinks is important. Either way, whether it's physical or mental, it's okay to meander in prayer. The point is that you're moseying along with the 3-mile-an-hour God. And that's exactly what I invite you to do now. I encourage you to live into God's story and to live out God's story by taking a prayerful walk. Ideally, you should pull on your jacket and shoes and head outdoors for a half hour or so with a companion. But maybe you're not able to do so. If that's the case, bundle up and sit on your deck or front porch. Or simply pull up a chair by the window so you can look outside and go for a mental jog, as if you're sitting on a park bench or something. Once you're ready, do the following. First, read out loud or re-listen to one of the stories about Philip and the eunuch, or Saul and Ananias. Once you've done that, you can head out the door. You might want to take a copy of the story and the following questions along, but that's not required. As you go, reflect on the story. If you're with someone else, share what questions or observations emerge for you. What stands out as interesting or odd? If you're on your own, feel free to speak those things out loud to God. At various points, pause for some silent reflection to consider some other questions, such as, how does this story connect with your life? Who are the strangers or enemies in your life? What might it look like for you to show hospitality to them? What sorts of hopes or concerns in your life does this story highlight? As you turn to head home, take some time with your companion to talk a bit about your lives. What has you encouraged or discouraged? What has you feeling joyful and grateful, or worried and unsettled? Take the opportunity to pray for one another, either silently or aloud, as you continue walking. Now, before we scatter and wander off in prayer with the 3-mile-an-hour God, City Alight, Sandra McCracken, Daniel Snoke, Steve Bell, and Tom West generously allowed us to play their recordings. Thanks to them all. And you can express your gratitude by purchasing their songs, which you can find on Sensible websites. And now, let me send you out with this blessing. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen.
Amen.
As Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may that same scarred Jesus, who lives forever in glory and is the source of our new eternal life, may He go with you. May He go before you to show you the way. May He go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace this day and always. Godspeed.
The Lord is Leads me beside